Now hear these words of the 37th Psalm, verses 1 through 27. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster they will not wither, and days of famine they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed, they will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Once I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You know, years ago, I got a phone call from a complete stranger. Well, that happens to me now all the time, but it was odd at the time. I got a call from a complete stranger. Apparently, I had been waiting in line to pick up my children at the Schuylkill Haven Elementary Center, and she had been behind my car. She read my license plate, and my license plate says Psalm 37. Now, being a Christian woman, she looked up the passage in the Bible that was in her car. And apparently, it was just what she needed to hear. It directly spoke to the situation that she was facing. She asked someone who I was. She found out and she called me to tell me how the Lord had spoke to her from my license plate. Psalm 37, verse 4, is my life verse. But with saying goodbye to Bob last week, and with all the many trials that I know many of us are facing, I was reminded of another verse in Psalm 37. And it's verse 25. It says, I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. You know, I remember a comic strip in the papers a while back. It's Baby Blues. Maybe some of you read it. And the two children were looking at the legs of their mother, who was wearing shorts for the very first time in the spring. And they were amazed because they saw a bunch of really cool little blue lines on her legs. They started looking at her legs to see if they could read what they thought was a cleverly disguised map. Now, those of us who are old enough know that those lines weren't a map. But there might be something that you saw in your parents or in your grandparents when you were young that you thought was pretty cool, only to find out that it isn't so cool when it happened to you when you grew old, older. You know, there is a book by Susan Jacoby. It has a title called Never Say Die. And she writes about how our culture seems to have a real problem with growing old and with dying and aging in general. She uses some really great terms in the book that from now on I am going to start to use. So get used to them because you're going to hear me use them. Over and over again, she kind of breaks down the this classification that we have for the elderly. And she uses other words. She uses the word welderly, meaning the elderly who are in good health. And then she uses the word elderly, meaning the elderly who have serious health issues. And she also has some other classifications. She uses the term called young old, which means ages 65 to 75, the old, ages 75 to 85, and the old old, 85 and up. So there's a verse, this verse in Psalm 37, which was actually written by King David, but don't panic, we are not going back there. But he is at the end, and he's looking back over his life, and of course he wrote most of our Psalms, and he's looking in the rearview mirror, and he draws some conclusions from the years that he spent walking with God. And he says in verse 25, Psalm 37, "Once I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." No one told him this information. This is not hearsay for him. It isn't something that he just picked up willy-nilly somewhere. He has drawn this conclusion based on the facts of his own life. And he knows that it is true based on his own personal experience. And because he has come to this conclusion, he makes a couple suggestions. Now this morning, I'm hoping that we can look at this psalm and just get a rule or two for facing life. The first of the instructions comes from Psalm 37, verse 1, and I think it is the best one. Now this verse is the one that gave such comfort to that acquaintance so many years ago in front of Schuylkillhaven Elementary Center. "Don't fret over evildoers." Well, actually, verse 1 says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong." That's the verse. I am thinking this is a great tip. This is a tip like, don't take any wooden nickels. Okay? Don't fret because of those who are evil. In the world in which we live, this is good information. Because there's a lot of evil and wicked folks out there. So don't fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. And you want to know why? Because they're not going anywhere. That's why. God's got their number. So don't get your blood pressure up. Don't get all bent out of shape. Don't worry about the wicked. That's not your job. What an amazing load this is off of our back. What an amazing gift this is that God has given us, that we do not have to take care of the wicked and we don't have to worry about it. You know, there are only 40 verses in the 37th Psalm, but over and over again we're told, you know what? Bad things happen to wicked people. Bad things happen to people who do not do good. Verse 10 says, "A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found." I really like that. I like that verse. You know, a year ago when I was driving to Virginia by myself, I was on the road. Now, those of you who know me know that I am not pokey on the highway. And if I get an amen from Mother, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're not going to Reading with me today if you amen that. Now, I was moving along, keeping up with traffic. There was some construction on the road, isn't there always? And we were down to one lane. There was a young woman, and she was on my bumper. I mean, she was kissing my back bumper. Now, I wasn't going anywhere. There was a line of traffic in front of me, but she must have thought I was the one who was holding her up, and she was not happy with me. Anyway, immediately when the lanes opened up, didn't even have a chance to get over in the right. She zipped around me on my right, and she was gone. Has this ever happened to you? I came around the bend in the road, and lo and behold, there she was, pulled off to the side of the road by a Virginia State Highway policeman. Lights were flashing. She was getting a ticket. Now, you need to understand, I was not happy that she was pulled over. But I was praising God it wasn't me. Now, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, because they're going nowhere. For like the grass, this is verse 2, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. And verse 10, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. I like that. So this wise man, looking back over his life, shares what he has learned. Don't fret. Don't envy. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord. This is verse 4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is my life verse. Commit your way to him and wait patiently. Don't fret. Wait. Don't envy. Commit your way to him. That is great advice. And you can do it if your theology is right. If your theology is right, you see, you are convinced that nothing happens to you in your life that has not passed before the throne of God first. You can do this, you see, if you are confident that nothing catches God by surprise. If you understand the nature of God, you see, you can wait. You don't have to be in any hurry to be vindicated. You know what? God's on the job. And because we know that, we can learn from this psalm. Don't get bent out of shape. Don't get your blood pressure up. What a relief it is for me to know that I don't have to take care of the wicked or worry about them. That means, you know why? What that means? That means that we can say our prayers. It means we can go to sleep. It means we can dream. It means we can snore. Not me, but you can. It means that we can let God handle the wicked. You can relax. You can rest. You can not fret. You can not be envious. And not only that, there is a promise that comes with that. And the promise is you will never be forsaken. Don't fret. Trust. Don't envy. Wait patiently. And you will dwell in the land and enjoy the fruits of your labor. You know, verse 25 is a great promise. It is a divine promise. And God always keeps his promises. There is no rubber in God's checks. They will never bounce. You will not be forsaken. You will not be abandoned. You will not be left to your own designs. God will never throw you under the wheels of the bus. You will not be dropped. And you know what? I like that too. You won't be forsaken. That's a pretty awesome promise. Now, this wise man, David, he doesn't say that those things don't happen at all. What he says is that he has never seen it for those who trust God. He says, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen it. God will not forsake me or the godly, and he won't forsake you either. You know, your insurance company might drop you. Your friends may forsake you. Your family might abandon you. Churches may disappoint you, but God will never drop you. And in addition to that, he says your children will never have to beg. You see, that's the second part of the promise. You won't be forsaken and your children won't have to beg. That's a promise. Now, I want us to understand what this means. You know, many of us here this morning are beneficiaries of someone who prayed for us. We are all beneficiaries of someone who has prayed for us. It might have been your grandparents. It might have been your parents. It might have been a friend or an acquaintance. I know myself that my grandmother interceded for me. But you know, someone who prayed for me without ceasing was the wife of one of my earliest employers when I was so young. She constantly prayed for my salvation. It got to where I would avoid her when I saw her coming. I was nowhere near God. She was always talking to me about Jesus. Man, she was always telling me how much she was praying for me. Oh, I was disgusted. She took an interest in my life. Can you believe that? It was awful. You know, she died at a very young age, and she never knew in this life how much she influenced my coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. She never knew that in this life. For the godly, we are not forsaken. And our children and those who the Lord gives us to love and minister to will never have to beg. In other words, God will take care of them. God will take care of their needs just like he will take care of ours. So Psalm 37 teaches, don't fret, don't be envious, trust, commit, wait. God's on the job. He always pays his bills. You won't be abandoned. You won't be forsaken. You won't be left alone. And in addition to all of that, God is also going to take care of your loved ones. You know, I began to speak for the Lord about 1987 or so. I spoke at a little church in Raymore, Missouri. See, I say it like I used to say it. Missouri. When you live there, it's Missouri. But the first time, that was the first time I was ever asked to preach for real, was in a Church of God of Prophecy. I don't know if you know that denomination. I think I asked Eugene one time, years and years ago, I think it was all the Churches of God were together, but then they broke up due to various reasons, and I think this was one, you know about that, Connie, I think, and they kind of went their own ways, and this is now a different one, and they are different. Anyway, Church of God of Prophecy is a charismatic church, predominantly black denomination. Now, I had not spoken very much in churches up until that time. I spoke in my little United Methodist church, you know, a couple times. It really, really threw me for a loop because I had never spoken in a church where the congregation shouted at you. You know, they talked to you. And I had never spoken in a place where people were speaking in tongues. And they were encouraging the preacher with comments during the message. I had never spoken in a church like that before. It really threw me. You know, I have to tell you, I'd be talking and somebody'd shout something out. I'd totally lose my train of thought. You know, I mean, I didn't even know what I was talking about, you know. But by the end, I kind of got the hang of it. And over the years, I really enjoyed it. I had the opportunity to speak of Church of Broken Pieces in Minersville several times, and they're the same way. And I got to where I really appreciate the interaction of the faithful. But you know, there was always the amens. There were always the hallelujahs, always the preach it's, the praise the Lord's, you know, all those things. And then some tongues, you know, sometimes sprinkled in with that. But sometimes there was something that always was really cool, I thought, from the person who said it, and that was, he will do it. He will do it. You'd say something, he will do that. He will do it. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. He who? God. That's who. And what will he do? He will take care of all the things in your life, if you let him. And that's what I'm here to ask you this morning. Do you really believe that? Or do you just pay lip service to that? Do you live that? Do you know that that's true? Is your theology so on target this morning that you truly believe the words that you have been singing for years, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you? Or Jesus, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Or Jesus loves me, this I know. Or Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Or what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Or do you just say that? Now, how do we know that God is going to do these things? Because of all that we have already seen him do. Because we have looked out and seen everything that he has given us. He will open doors for you. He will put peace in your heart. He will put a smile on your face. He will put stars in your sky. He will do it. No matter whether you are young, whether you are young old, whether you are old or old old, no matter whether you are elderly, no matter whether you are elderly, He will do it. If you do not fret, if you do not envy, if you trust, if you commit your way, if you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. If I didn't know this to be true, I would not tell you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, help us delight in you, because we know that that's what brings our life together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.